better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
If you want to get in on the conversation, you can call or text the Cherokee Casino Hotline at 877-377-6963. Just interesting to talk about the offensive coordinator and the direction that Sam Pittman may end up going. And a few of you have texted in and tweeted in the guys that you would want. And I guess the hot name that we were hearing yesterday. And again, I'm not saying this because I have some inside source or that there was some secret meeting at the powerhouse. Nothing like that. This is just simply a name that people threw against it. And it was like, okay, that could work out. And the name was Kendall Briles. Now, Kendall Briles has a pretty good, solid resume of places he's coached and the successes that he's had. He was the Florida State offensive coordinator and quarterback coach this past year. Obviously, with the Willie Taggart situation.
They all got fired.
Yeah, that didn't work out. Before that, he was at Houston in 2018, where he put up record numbers with them. Florida Atlantic before that. And, of course, we know that he was at Baylor because of the relationship that he has with Art Bras. But either way, it's a name that got thrown around. Chip Long continues to get thrown around, the guy that was formerly from Notre Dame. And the Arkansas connection with him is that he was he's a GA under Bobby Petrino at Arkansas mm-hmm. way back when, so there's a connection there. Some people keep saying Rhett Lashley because of the Arkansas connection there.
And he did a good job at SMU. Top 25 team all year. Mm-hmm. Well, more or less. Yeah.
So between those three names right there that I mentioned, Kendall Briles, mm-hmm. Rhett Lashley, mm-hmm. Chip Long, do you prefer any of them?
I guess Rhett Lashley's the name we know the most.
He's truly an Arkansas guy.
I'd say Briles is the most experienced at the high level calling plays, but depends on what if you want, what do you want out of this coach? I want the guy that can develop quarterbacks the best. I don't know which one of those three it is, but who's the best quarterback mechanic of those three? That's who I want. And play calling and all that obviously is important, but there's no one, there isn't a Barry Lunny that's coaching tight ends that can also help you with quarterbacks if needed. So I'm looking for a good quarterback mechanic too.
Mm-hmm. Well,
good quarterback whisperer.
If that's the case, which I agree with you, needs to be the case, then you probably don't want to go the direction of Chip Long. Because Chip Long has always been the offensive coordinator and tight ends coach.
Okay.
So he hasn't been really known for being the quarterback's coach. However, Kendall Briles has been the quarterback's coach. And always, at least with the success that he's had at his previous stops, he has been a quarterback coach. And then Rhett Lashley, we know that he was the quarterback's coach, not only at SMU and UConn, but also at Auburn when he was there with Malzahn. He's always been a quarterback's coach because he was, a quarterback.
Do you like having your coordinator, your offensive coordinator, coach the quarterbacks? Or does it bother you if the coordinator's coaching some other offensive position? Does the coordinator and the QB need to be in lockstep?
I mean, it doesn't bother me, but I prefer it that way.
I do too.
Because your quarterback's running the offense on the field, so you want your offensive coordinator and the quarterback kind of just to all be on the same
page. So what's your whole feeling on this running game, passing game coordinator business?
It's worked out for LSU.
Right.
I mean, we've seen examples where it's really worked out.
I mean, we saw it at Arkansas 10 or 12 years ago when Mike Markison was here, and he was the running game coordinator, and Gus Malzahn was the passing game coordinator.
Yeah, and then it went to David Lee being the passing game coordinator. I mean, because here's the thing. You always say the same thing about quarterbacks. If you have two quarterbacks, you have none.
Right.
A lot of times it could be considered with the offensive coordinator. If you've got two offensive coordinators, you have none.
I agree.
I'd like to have it to where you have one guy that can just run the offense and be the coordinator and make it work.
See, for me, I want the quarterback and the quarterback coach and the offensive coordinator to be the same person.
Yeah, I do too. I prefer it that way. Because even if you look at an Arkansas, when Brett Bielema was there, the offensive coordinator was the quarterback's coach as well, with Jim Chaney and then Dan Enos. Both were the offensive coordinator and quarterback coach. Before that, under Bobby Petrino, he
coached everything.
Yeah, I have to say, Paul Petrino was the wide receivers coach and offensive coordinator, but let's be honest, he was not the offensive coordinator.
Right.
But Garrett McGee coached quarterbacks. He was the offensive coordinator. And before that, You could even say that, well, Malzahn, when he was the offensive coordinator, he was also, I believe, the wide receivers coach, mm-hmm. is what he was at Arkansas in that 1 year. So in most cases, you've had it to where the offensive coordinator, at least in the most successful years of Arkansas, has always been the quarterback's coach as well. So if I'm Sam Pittman, and I'm not, but if I was, I would go that route in trying to get my offensive coordinator to also be my quarterback coach. It just seems to make so much more sense.
So you're saying that would probably move Chip Long to the bottom of that list that you gave.
Right.
So now you're, let's, okay, now we're down to Briles and Lashley. Mm-hmm. Make the case for one or the other.
Well, if you look at just going through the resume, we'll go the resume for both coordinators here. Rhett Lashley, he's from Springdale. He's an Arkansas guy.
That checks a box.
Yeah, that checks a box. He's 36 years old, so still relatively mm-hmm. young, which is crazy. He's only 5 years older than me, but that's neither here nor there.
Makes you wonder, what are we doing with our lives?
Yeah, seriously. You know? He's out here. We're talking about him being the offensive coordinator.
What are we doing?
He was a he was a quarterback's coach at Springdale High, became a GA at Arkansas. He was an Auburn GA. He went to Samford as an offensive coordinator, quarterback coach in 2011. Then he went with Gus Malzahn to Arkansas State as the offensive coordinator, quarterback coach. Then went to Auburn as the offensive coordinator, quarterback coach for Malzahn from 2013 to 2016. Then 2017 went to UConn as the same position. Yep. And then in 2018 went to SMU. In the past two seasons, he was that same position.
So let's pay attention to 17 and then 18, 19, where he's been at UConn and SMU. Mm-hmm. Once he's gotten, because why did he leave Auburn? To get out of the shadow of and Malzahn. Out from under the wing of Gus Malzahn. How has he done since then on his own? When Gus isn't there, drawing up the game planning perhaps, in his ear on game day play, you know, with the play calling. It's all you. It's your show. Mm-hmm. That's what we would really need to zero in on with Rhett Lashley. I think. He's got a lot of great foundation there. Everything you just said. If you like what Malzahn does philosophically, this is a guy you probably would want to take a hard look at. Malzahn uses a lot of the RPO if he's got the right guys. He's a smash mouth spread, likes to run it out of the spread. So probably someone that understands the things you're wanting to do here offensively.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to look at the stats, because I think that's something that people want to know.
It's kind of sometimes all we have to look at.
Yeah, this is, if you look at the stats when it comes to the offensive numbers, just this past year at SMU, because SMU had a good year.
They had a great year.
Had a great year.
By SMU standards, they had a historical year.
They were averaging 43 points a game.
When they weren't cheating, at least.
Yes, exactly.
One of their better years when they weren't paying the players that we know of.
Yeah, make sure you put that caveat in there.
Right.
They were averaging 43 points a game, which was seventh. In the country.
Would you take that? Now, they're not playing SEC defenses.
I'm about to say. Got to remember what conference they're in and all that. But still, they put up the numbers. They put up the stats.
All right.
And if you look at their offensive specifically, they were passing for 309 yards per game. Passing. Rushing for 185 yards per game, which is an average of 495 yards per game. So, they didn't have a lot of turnovers either. So if you just look at, because I'm going through, I'm looking at all these stat sheets and whatnot, averaging, they passed the ball, obviously, more pass heavy there, but they were pretty balanced, comparatively speaking, when you really look at how teams play in the state of Texas and small colleges and whatnot. So SMU's offense was really good. They were better mm-hmm. than what they were in the previous year. They went 10-2, and this is nothing against Sonny Dykes, but, you know, there's been times where Sonny Dykes hasn't succeeded as a head coach, but going to SMU with the right players and the right pieces, maybe, just maybe, Rhett Lashley was a big reason why that was the case. And when the point you brought up with Rhett and being at Auburn, I think that was a factor that a lot of us may not take into consideration, just because who was really calling the plays at Auburn?
We don't know.
But
it's not NASCAR. We can't rent a headset and listen in.
No, but if I had to speculate and assume, and I know what assuming does to us all, but if I had to assume, it's probably more so Gus Malzahn.
Yep.
I mean, he's the offensive guru.
And he's went back and forth on that. He's publicly discussed, you know, that there's been times he's not called the plays, and then he's taken that duty back.
Mm-hmm.
Taking that responsibility back on. It's his offense. It's his show. He needs to be calling the plays.
Yeah.
It's like Bobby Petrino when he was here. He needed to be calling the plays. Why? Because he's just gifted at it. He's better at it.
Yeah. And that's what you want. You want to.
And that was really one of Chad Morris's problems here. He's probably a pretty good play caller that we, you know, I don't think he ever had the talent on the field to show it, but he didn't need Joe Craddock and all these other people getting in the way on a game day.
No. No. Whatever they needed to do to take sure that they took care of business is whoever you want calling the plays. It doesn't matter if it's the head coach or not. But to move on to the other guy, which is Kendall Briles, it's hard to take his Florida State stats because he was there for literally a year. And then
and everybody got canned.
Yeah. And so it just not even a full 2 years. So, yeah. And it's hard to really say, OK, this is how great it was. So let's look at Houston. Stop before that. In his 1 year at Houston, they were averaging almost 300 yards passing per game, 216 yards rushing per game. They were scoring 43.9 points a game,
all right,
which is fifth or was fifth in the country during that point.
About like what Lashley did this past year with SMU.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Correct. And the one issue that you could bring up, though, is that they did turn the ball over just a little more. But, you know, I mean, it's, unless we have a breakdown of what the interceptions and fumbles looked like, then it's really tough to say one way or the other. But their quarterback threw for almost 3,000 yards, completed 64% of his passes, 36 touchdowns, and only 6 interceptions. It's a pretty good number. And again, this is at Houston, similar to what it was at SMU, where you got to take into consideration the competition that they were going through and all of that. But the point is if you look at both numbers for both of these coordinators at their previous stops, or at least at the previous stops where it makes the most sense to take those stats from, smaller colleges, smaller schools, not as talented of teams, but still putting up big time numbers. So, and they're pretty equal. So, I mean, would you say, Tommy, you'd lean more towards then Rhett Lashley just because of the Arkansas connection?
I think that's it's a box that he checks, that a lot of his competition, if he's truly in the competition for this job, they can't check that box. Knowing the coaches in this state, we know that the historical data, the historical rosters of teams with the most success at Arkansas says you better recruit well in Arkansas. And having a coach that, you know, knows the coaches in this state, that grew up in the state, that can make that connection, that's been one of them, that came from right here, I think is always a great plus on your staff. Really do.
I think it goes a long way. And, you know, sometimes we get wrapped up in getting an Arkansas guy so many times.
Like, I think that's something we put too much emphasis on.
Mm-hmm. I do too. And it's, but we like familiarity. And that's really what it's about. We like familiarity. And it's the same thing with Sam Pittman. He was familiar to us. So we like to be able to interact with somebody like that. And it felt we felt stronger in the relationship that could have been there.
Yeah.
But either way, it feels right. It feels right.
Taz, watching us on YouTube, asked, what about Dow Loggins?
Dow Loggins was
a backup quarterback at Arkansas, now a offensive coordinator in the NFL. Do you see him leaving the pro game to come back? I think his dream job is to be the head coach at Arkansas.
I don't see him leaving.
Yeah, he'd come here and he would crawl here to be the head coach, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure. But to be the offensive coordinator, I mean, I don't know. I don't know where his mind's at, but yeah. I wouldn't want to leave.
Right.
The NFL, especially since he's had success and he's been in it how long now as an offensive coordinator? You know, over between 5 and 7 years, something like that, as an offensive coordinator. So obviously what he's doing.
Been on staffs for more than a decade, I guess.
Yeah,
now.
So obviously, and that's working out for him. So, yeah, that name has got thrown around a lot, too. But, you know, it's just a matter of what fits with Sam Pittman. Because, you know, we can sit here and throw names and say, well, this guy was awesome at this school. But
again, yeah, that's why I think we're throwing mud on the wall here and seeing what sticks.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know. And, of course, we have Rashad in North Little Rock just texted in the Cherokee Casino Hotline, says Kendall Briles was spotted in Northwest Arkansas last night eating with Pittman, which was confirmed by Danny West. I don't know. I didn't see anything like that.
Oh, boy.
And that's not saying you're wrong, Rashad. I'm just saying I guess I'd have to check out and check with Danny West to make sure that was confirmed or not. But, you know, if that's the case, then, you know, getting thrown around. Maybe he was at Ruth Chris last night, yeah. Tommy. Maybe
the night before.
Yeah, maybe that was the guy. So, you know, I'm not totally sure about it. But what we do know is that these are the names that are getting thrown around. And these are the names that could be realistic. Because Chip Long, but here's the other thing, too. Chip Long, which I think that we were kind of throwing to the side just a little bit because we want a quarterback coach also, and he's been more of a tight ends coach. But Chip Long and Kendall Briles are unemployed right now. Brett Lashley still at least has a job. Kendall Briles was fired in the middle of the season at Florida State. Chip Long was fired after having record-setting numbers at Notre Dame. So wouldn't those things kind of throw a little bit of a red flag, too, when you just wonder, okay, why would you fire a guy in Chip Long when he was having record numbers at Notre Dame? Or why was it a mutual departing type of situation? And why would you want to hire a guy that was fired and within three games at Florida State? No, those are the things that kind of just make you raise those red flags.
Morning Rush brought to you by Brent Higgins Trucking. If you have experience transporting frozen and refrigerated goods and you want to be a part of a trucking family with insurance and be home every week, call Brent Higgins. They got a spot for you. Since 1997, they've been proudly delivering to and from various areas of the United States, including but not limited to Oklahoma, Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi. Brent Higgins Trucking, where you're a name, not just a number. Call Brent today to apply for a job, 479-997-2366. That's 997-2366. Or apply online at BrentHigginsTrucking.com.
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Danny is in Russellville. What's going on, Danny?
Good morning, guys. I'm a little bit leery of this SMU connection. We brought Chad Morris here and all his high flying, hammer down left lane, super duper offense, and well, we know how that went.
Yeah.
But the question I have is, do you think Sam Pittman? I don't see him as a guy that wants to go fast. You know, hurry, hurry, like Gus Malzahn. Do you see that?
No, I don't see it as just going fast like a Gus Malzahn. But I think it's kind of in the middle, where it's not going to be slow them down and try to win the games 10-7. It's going to have to be some sort of RPO, but you know, I don't see it being as this hurry up, no huddle, going around throwing the ball for 500 yards each game either. So I think it's going to be very methodical on how Sam Pittman wants his offense to be ran.
Well, I don't care what speed we go. I just want to be able to block and tackle. We hadn't been able to do that in a long time. And, you know, our best when Mike Anderson was here, we tried to go fast, and we gave up a lot of points, a lot of easy baskets. And I'm glad we're back to playing half-court defense. Forget the full-court press. We never got any turnovers anyway with that. It was just a waste of energy. But anyway, guys, thanks for taking my call, and have a good day.
I appreciate the phone call, Danny, because that's the ultimate question, is that we don't really know where Sam Pittman, the direction he wants to go in the offense. I know we talked to him yesterday here on the Morning Rush, and we'll play some of those clips as the show goes on about the offense specifically. But he understands, like, listen, we have to score points to win games. We have to score a lot of points to win games. He knows how college football is these days. It just is not that way anymore where you can just play hard-nosed defense and be able to control the clock and control the tempo and run the ball out. And that's just not how college football is played right now. So that's why the defensive coordinator and hiring Barry Odom was fantastic. I think that was as good of a hire as you could possibly make in that position. But the most important and the most intriguing hire is going to be the offensive coordinator, because that's going to tell you where the mind is at of Sam Pittman, of what type of offense he wants to run at Arkansas. That's what it's going
to
be.
How important is it to make the hire today before any of these undecided players you might be thinking you're still in on make a decision for the early signing period tomorrow? Or is it too late? Is all that hay already in the barn? Particularly a Jacoby Criswell. Is there any hire you could make that would change his mind to not go to North Carolina? I don't know. I don't know enough about him. I would think it would be hard for Criswell to say, I'm not going to North Carolina. I'm coming to Arkansas, even though I don't know who the OC is going to be.
Right.
Who the quarterback coach is going to be. I just think that's what puts you behind the eight ball, trying to get a player like that. But do you rush the process and hire the wrong person just to get one kid? No, you don't do that either. So, it's a tough deal.
It is tough. And I don't think any player that's undecided, if you hired an offensive coordinator, whoever ends up being, would say, well, I was going to commit before you had a coordinator, but now I'm not going to commit because of this coordinator. That's not going to happen. So it can only help you to have an offensive coordinator named here fairly quickly. But like you said, you don't want to rush into it. You want to make sure you get your guy. And as great as it would be to get Criswell, which all signs are pointing to, he's not going to come to Arkansas. Yeah,
he's going to sign at 9:30 in the morning at Morrilton High School. So
yeah, it looks like he's going to end up at North Carolina. First off, number one, folks, don't tweet at him. Number two, you can't blame Sam Pittman for this.
Nope.
This was the
Chad Morris problem.
This was the failure of the Chad Morris and the staff that refused to recruit him.
And this isn't the kid's fault either.
No.
Because I can tell you that staff did not make an effort to recruit him.
Yeah.
Did not go see him like they should have if they wanted him. It's just a shame what's been left here for Sam Pittman to try to build in a few days. You just can't build trust in a relationship. That's why you got to start recruiting sophomores and juniors early on, so that you can get them, go see those guys, go visit with them in their homes, and get them to campus 2, 3, 4 times so that you can get them here for an official and then maybe get them to commit to you.
Mm-hmm.
It is a process. You can't bypass all the steps in the process. And that's essentially what you're trying to do with that particular kid. I just think it's hard to try to get the Gatorade Player of the Year, perhaps the best football player in this state, who's going to leave and go to another state to play football when you only have an offensive coordinator named.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterback coach named.
And because even Sam Pittman talked about in his opening statement when he was hired about the way he's recruited is just so much about building relationships with these kids, where I get to know them so much that it's going to kill them to tell me no.
Yeah.
Is how he looks at it. And you can't do that in a week.
You start when they're sophomores doing that.
Yeah. You can't do it in a week and a half where he's already been committed to one school for an extended period of time. And just expect him to flip on a dime, especially when you don't, like you said, don't have an offensive coordinator or quarterback coach named.
If Criswell did that, and I don't expect him to do it, nor should he. I'd love for him to be a Razorback, but he's only doing it because he wants to be a Hog.
Yeah.
That's it.
That would be the only reason.
That'd be the only reason. But I fully expect 26 hours from now him to follow through with his commitment to be a Tar Heel.
Yeah.
And I can't blame him based on the way he was not recruited by Chad Morris's staff.
Yeah. See, I don't blame him.
No.
I don't blame him at all.
This is not a situation where Arkansas tried and the kid left the state. This is not one of those deals.
That's right. And just to make sure that everyone understands as well, the silver lining is that he's not going to an SEC school.
That's the only thing we can say.
At least he's going to North Carolina, not one of these things where next year, the year down the road, he's going to come back and haunt you.
Yeah.
You know, so
watch him win a Heisman at your division rival, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Just win a Heisman at the school in North Carolina with Mack Brown.
That'd be bad enough.
Yeah, it would be
good for him, but yeah, bad as an Arkansas.
But that's why, when it comes to the quarterback situation, maybe that's why they go into the transfer portal. See who's in there. See who they can dig up and see who can help out immediately, because they're going to need some help in that quarterback room.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hogs!
Oh, yeah, Dylan in Greenwood texted him. He says, you guys should have asked Sam Pittman if John could be the game console coordinator. Show Coach Pittman how you put a roster on the NCAA football game and how do you win games. Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure that is exactly what we should have asked him, and I can't believe he hasn't put me on staff because of my narrow wins of running 4 verts all the time on NCAA football 2014.
Yep.
What other thing do I need to put on my resume to be the offensive coordinator and the quarterbacks coach there? Don't need that. This one comes from Tommy in Russ Vegas, as he calls it.
All right.
He says he totally disagrees on the offensive coordinator needing to be a quarterback coach thing. I think splitting those duties is fine as long as the OC and quarterback coach are on the same page. What do you think about Garrett McGee pairing with Chip Long? I assume that's what you're meaning when we say Long. No. McGee has a history with Long and Odom and Arkansas.
And where has Garrett McGee been?
Missouri.
And who did Arkansas just hire? Now, I know it's the other side of the ball as a coordinator, but there's at least...
It's a fascinating point there,
Tommy.
There's
at least an in.
Yeah, Tommy in Las Vegas, not you.
Right.
You don't have an interesting point.
Oh, thank you.
Tommy in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I don't care.
No, but that is an interesting thing of the history there with Garrett McGee. What if they did that, though? If they hired Chip Long as the tight ends coach and offensive coordinator and Garrick McGee as the quarterback coach, would you be down for that?
Well,
this is just for fun. I mean, would you be down for that?
I mean, I guess.
Yeah. That's how I am, too.
Again,
like, all right, well,
we
sure.
Again, you hire people you know, like, and trust. When you're the boss and you're hiring people for important positions of big responsibility, and you're going to particularly pay them, in this case, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, it goes beyond these surface conversations we're having. There are deep, hours-long conversations about philosophy. Remember the time Bielema described, Rob Smith, him and Rob Smith having that hotel room interview where they cleared out the furniture and they're talking about blocking and tackling techniques, and they actually came up and knocked on the door and said, hey, it's after midnight. Y'all need to settle it down up here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they were, and that's how long the interview had lasted before he became defensive coordinator. That's how a lot of these things go when particularly you don't have a long, deep, years back relationship with somebody. You got to dive in and really understand what they're about.
Mm-hmm.
Both sides. Particularly if you're a young coach going to jump into this feet first, do you understand what you're signing up for with Sam Pittman? If I'm an established coordinator somewhere else or I've been working in that, I would have the opinion I want to interview Sam Pittman as much as he wants to interview me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's no disrespect to Sam Pittman, but he is a first-time head coach. So I think there's some of that going on too here. We all, you know, these surface conversations of comparing stats and this name versus that name and who's got an Arkansas tie and who's, you know, telling you it's still going to come back to know, like, and trust at the end of the day. It always does.
Well, Pittman's also been a guy that's talked about relationships, how important they are. Yeah. And he's not going
to it's not going to be important here when he's hiring
exactly,
an OC?
Exactly, my point, yeah. He gets his OC, is going to have some sort of relationship.
That's why I don't think it's going to be some guy he's meeting for the first time at dinner at Ruth Chris. It's just not going to work that way.
Yeah. But that's why the name Jim Chaney kept getting thrown around, because of their previous relationship. Well, but that's not going to be the case either.
Doesn't appear to be.
No. And the thing is, Jay Johnson, the guy that's up in Colorado, was thrown around because of his working at Georgia while Pittman was there. I'm not saying that would just move the needle for everybody, but it would make sense because they had worked together. So, I don't know. But by the way, also, we were talking earlier about, you know, Danny West confirming that Kendall Briles was in Fayetteville. He did say on the message board, this is Danny West's words. Danny West of Fox Sports says, based on a few people I've heard from, I tend to believe Briles was, in fact, in Fayetteville tonight, which was last night. So, take that for whatever it is. But if they're interviewing him, I know that that's where a lot of people are getting their excitement from. Well, and if they end up getting Kendall Briles, it'll be a good hire.
Well, listen,
but
all starts with an interview.
That's right. So at least he's getting the opportunity. He's getting the chance to do something.
If that's indeed true, you know, certainly a candidate.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
at a minimum.
That's right. That's right. All right.
But what we thought and what we heard yesterday here on the show, he's trying to wrap this up over the next couple of days, including yesterday and today. So I think maybe today... I think by tomorrow morning, we're talking about who the coordinator is.
Hopefully.
I think so.
Hopefully it's not 9:05 and it's like, the coordinator's been made. Because that's what happens all the time.
Yeah, we'll be talking about it before, just like Odom. We were telling you Odom was the hire before we got the release.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, that's the way it works.
It'll be the same way. All right, let's go ahead and get into some scrubs and dubs here on the Morning Rush.
Some people were born to get dubs.
I'm hollering loud because I can back up every word. And I'll whoop any man in the world. And I want everybody out there on TV to know it. I am the greatest.
Others were born to be scrubs.
These guys, I don't know if we're going to be able to beat anybody this year.
Don't listen to him, Hank. He's a loser.
Good thing we get to decide who gets dubs and who's the scrubs on the Morning Rush.
All right, so we want to do scrubs or dubs first.
I'm ready for dubs.
Great for dubs.
A little light on scrubs.
Yeah, okay. We'll kick it off because I'm heavy on scrubs.
I'm heavy on dubs this morning.
We'll make it work. Go ahead and kick it off.
I'm going to start with Drew Brees, who I didn't have on my list till early this morning when I was looking at his stat line from last night in Monday Night Football.
It's not bad.
It's just ridiculous. 29 of 30. You heard me right. 29 of 30 passing. 307 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions.
Close to perfect.
The one pass he missed was a behind the line of scrimmage little swing pass out into the flat, or he would have been 30 for 30.
What were the Colts doing?
They lost 34-7 as the Saints beat them last night. QBR 97, a rating of 148 in the game last night. I don't know how you leave that guy off the dubs. I mean, 29 of 30? pretty stout.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think he's going to be a future Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
So
just think if he'd stayed in Miami, how all of our lives would be different, because Nick Saban would have stayed there too.
Do you like Drew Brees, though, like as a person?
Well, how can you not like Drew Brees?
I'm kind of the same way. He stayed in New Orleans, too. And, you know, New Orleans was a joke of a franchise before he arrived. It was always the, with the New Orleans Aints, what they were known for. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Because, I mean, he's just been so consistent over the time, too. But, yeah, that's been fantastic. All right, my dub, I'm going to give to Joe Burrow, another quarterback, another number nine in the state of Louisiana. Not only just because his Heisman speech, which was incredible, and this so moving and so emotional, but also when he was in this speech, he had talked about, in quote, saying, coming from Southeast Ohio, it's a very impoverished area, and poverty rate is almost 2 times the national average. There are so many people there that don't have a lot, and I'm up here for all those kids in Athens and Athens County that go home to not a lot of food on the table, hungry after school. You guys can be up here too. So saying all that apparently inspired many people, to where there's been an effort put together on Facebook where more than $150,000 in donations have been put forth to a food pantry in this Ohio hometown. And you know, that's one of the more incredible things that you'll see is, first off, it shows the goodness of people, especially during this time of the year, during the holiday season, of giving back to people that may not be as blessed as others. But also the fact that it shows you that sports can do so much more than just putting together entertainment on a football field. I mean, it can move people to actually doing things and getting up and inspiring people to do great things. And that's what this was as well. And to see that people not only went to this much of an effort to donate, to give back to this impoverished area, just based on the Heisman speech. If Joe Burrow doesn't talk about the impoverished area he came from, nobody knows about it.
And look at all the money raised.
Yeah, $150,000.
You know, I thought it was more net now.
Well, as of right now, that's what they pledged, is $150,000. Okay. But it's still going up, and who knows what it will be by the end of the day. But it's just awesome, and it's awesome to see that these types of things can inspire people.
You
like
just
that.
Hope that the money gets into the right places to influence
that's
and impact lives,
key.
And that people don't get their hands in it with the wrong intentions. But that's exactly right. I mean, you look at that, and then the unfortunate loss and the heinous act in Fayetteville.
Yeah.
And Officer Carr in the loss of his life and the money raised. I mean, I just find it shows me that we watch all this crap on TV where the media, the national media I'm talking about, wants us to believe that we're a nation that's so deeply divided. We all hate each other. We're at each other's throats. We're all the time, you know, just in this philosophical battle that becomes a pot boiling over day to day in this country. But yet when there's times of need, moments of need, causes of need, we always seem to pull together without Washington getting involved somehow.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think this country's nearly as bad off as some people would have us believe or want us to believe, maybe.
And
you just see these acts of kindness, these acts of generosity. We see it in our parts of the world when a tornado comes through or some kind of natural, flood this past summer.
Yeah.
Great example. Floods that impacted many, many, many Arkansans from the western end of the state in Fort Smith all the way through central Arkansas and through the Delta. People were flooded out. People lost homes. People lost their lives. And we pulled together. Mm-hmm. But they'd have you believe we're all against each other or whatever out here. You see this cause here you're talking about that Joe Burrow brought light to, cause in the aftermath of the loss of life with the police officer in Fayetteville. It just shows you that we're a lot more human out here and a lot more kind and a lot more generous than we get credit for as a country.
That's right. And here's the thing. Social media is not real life, folks. Social media, if you look at it the whole time, it's going to be nothing but negativity and hatred. But it's not that way. It's real life is what's real life. And to see things like that, that's real. That's not done by anything else.
I just believe at the end of the day, we're we're all a bunch of good people deep down. We may not always do good things, but we're still good people
deep down, as
a whole.
Yeah, that's what I hope for. All right, Matty T, talk about generosity. So who's got your dub?
Can you hit my music there?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's see if we can get this to go.
My dub is for the beautiful, voluptuous voice.
Oh, Mariah Carey.
Because we love this song, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's a staple now.
I don't know if the voice is the voluptuous part. But
the big, delicious, juicy voice of Mariah
there
Carey.
There you go. It is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this song came out as part of an EP in 1994.
Wow. Yeah, it's that old.
And as of yesterday, it finally reached number one.
After all these years, it reaches number one.
That's right, and it's because of the help of things like Spotify,
streaming and all that,
Apple Music and others. So, when it first was released as part of streaming in like 2014, it had 12.6 million listens. In 2016, 61 million. 2018, 185 million listens, which now makes her 19th. Number one hit. 25 years later, she's one away now from tying the Beatles with number one hit singles. So,
what a world. the fact that this song, because of the streaming services, gets to that point.
But this is one of those, after all these years, this is one of those, it's like, it's a must listen every year. And so, I say, Alexa, play All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey.
Beautiful. See, now Tommy's got the controls over there, so now we're just going to stop and just become little Christmas music here. It's a good song.
And to quote John Neighbors,
don't talk over the hook. All right, now
we can talk. Okay.
To quote John Neighbors, Mariah Carey puts the sex in Christmas.
That's right. So. That's right.
I got to get that on a t-shirt.
I say that all the time. It's in my Twitter bio. That's my mission statement right there.
Big, beautiful, juicy voice.
That's exactly
what I thought you were describing.
That's exactly right. So, yeah, that's incredible.
Congratulations, Mariah.
Yeah, that's incredible. In fact, I guess we'll just let this one play out. Forget the college football bet. This is better than the college football bet. All right, Tommy, who's your scrub going to? You have to look this one up.
No, I just want to get the facts right. Okay. I mean, Josh Gordon suspended again. I mean, do you feel bad for this guy?
No.
Do you feel sorry for this guy?
No.
Or is this guy just... The league and the NFL announced yesterday suspended indefinitely one more time. Seattle Seahawks, Josh Gordon. This is his fifth... he appeared in 5 games this year. This marks his 6th suspension since 2013 and the 5th for some form of substance abuse, according to ESPN stats and info.
Stay off the weed. As Stephen A. Smith would say,
suspended indefinitely.
6 times, and this is just in the NFL. He had problems in college too.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
Unbelievable.
I understand, like, substance abuse is a real thing, and people get addicted. I understand that, man, but you just don't understand how great of an opportunity you have to play in the NFL.
And you only get it once.
Yes. And you've gotten not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but now you're going to have your 6th chance.
And teams keep signing you and paying you.
Because you're good. It's unbelievable. I just don't understand it.
John in Columbus, Ohio said that I accidentally set off his Alexa when I said, Alexa, play All I Want for Christmas Is You. So sorry, everybody out there that has an Amazon Echo. I didn't mean to say, Alexa, play All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Just did it to my phone.
If that's the case, we'll have to start making some noise over here and saying, Alexa, play the Morning Rush, whatever it is. That's a good scrub time. In fact, that was one of the ones that I was going to go with as well. It just doesn't make sense. But instead, I'm going to put myself as a scrub. It's unprecedented to make myself a scrub.
I saw this yesterday.
Yourself?
Yeah, myself as a scrub.
Now I'm intrigued.
I know you would be. In fact, you're probably more than intrigued. You're probably wondering.
This has a visual element to it.
It does, and I'm going to try to describe it. But essentially, you know what time hop is, Tommy?
Yeah, on Facebook.
It's like Facebook.
Facebook, Twitter. Yeah. It does all my social media accounts. Like
on this day, I always love it when it pops up, 5 years ago, and it shows you with,
your ex.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, the
I don't have the time hop.
Yeah,
not because of exes. Bad memories sometimes.
It does.
I was trying to forget this.
Time hop brings back more bad stuff, I think, than good stuff.
Absolutely. Well, this got brought up on time hop where 7 years ago was when Brett Bielema was hired.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in school at the time at the U of A. And, you know, Jeff Long, if you remember, he, like, took a hiatus when he was the athletic director. He was nowhere to be found during the whole coaching search of that football season. He wasn't tweeting anything. He was completely incognito.
Yep.
Well, on showing up on Time Hop was the time where Jeff Long had tweeted, not only for the first time, but at the Razorback basketball game after Brett Bielema was hired. And guess who's in that picture?
I'm guessing you.
It was me and my student section friends.
You looked really enthusiastic, too. Like you were putting your full support behind you.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that it was because it was Brett Bielema, in my opinion at the time, was such an amazing hire.
An amazing hire.
An amazing hire. And I remember retweeting that and quote tweeting that, saying that, congratulations, Jeff Long. This is why you are the best athletic director in the country. Time heals wounds. And that was a bad move by me. I should never have said that. And I apologize to anybody who saw that. I was just a dumb college kid. Just a dumb college kid.
For 7 years.
For seven and a half, actually. So, but.
What is your doctorate in, by the way?
Radio. And then I have a doctorate of program.
Doctorate in radio. AM or FM.
Pick one. So I had to put myself in there because it just reminded me that's like how so young and stupid.
One reason not to have Time Hop.
You just had bad memories? There's one.
Yeah.
I honestly thought
it's just, what is it, old takes exposed? Or?
Yes. Yeah. Those are great.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah, basically.
Had my Brandon Dean white basketball jersey on in my headband. Oh, so many things I could tell
it
you, young.
Cool is what you're saying.
I was the coolest. What's cooler than being in the front row of the student section every single day?
Yeah.
I mean.
What you live for.
Yeah, that's right. That's the main reason kids go to school these days. Forget the partying and, you
for
know,
7 years.
Joining fraternities and stuff. It's about getting the front row of the student section. That's the real fraternity you want to be a part of. So, I'm going to throw myself into the scrub. All right, Maddie, what do you got for your scrub?
Well, this one doesn't necessarily have to be just for Christmas time, but I noticed it yesterday when I was torturing myself walking through Target and leaving all of these people. You've got all, you know, all the time in the world to walk through Target, fill your car, you know, cart up with stuff and take it out to your car, unload it. But you can't take 30 seconds to walk your cart
back
to the cart thing. It's just, I come back to my car and there's a cart right
you're
in front
ready
of
to set John off.
Right in front of my car. And
I hate it.
It's like you had all that interest. It's like, but somehow it's like, oh, well, now I'm in a hurry.
Yeah.
It's like when it comes to pushing my cart 15 feet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'm telling you, Maddie, I hate the term triggered, but that triggers me when these things get brought up, because I have said, and I'm not kidding. I'm not saying this to be funny. I believe leaving your cart out in the parking lot at Walmart or Target or wherever should be a criminal act.
Punishable by death?
You should. You know what? I'd consider it. But it should be at least worthy of a citation.
One of the great joys of the shopping cart is that when you turn it to the cart corral, which is just a wonderful name for it, the cart corral, is to see how hard you can push that thing in.
Yes,
that is one of the great joys.
Right in there.
How hard can I push this thing in?
Yeah.
And from how far away can I aim it right into the deal?
That's
one of the
games.
That's
exactly right. That's one of the great joys.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd like I break the cart in the stall in half?
Mm-hmm.
That is my goal here.
Yep. And sometimes, as long as there's no cars around there, you'd like to see how far. It's like, okay, you got to look at the wind resistance, see where the hill's going, and see if you can, you know, shove it from far away enough to where it kind of goes right in there.
If you got like a wobbly wheel or something, you can be really taking a chance.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and that's my whole point, is that it's fun to put the cart back. It's fun.
Yeah, you're missing out.
Yeah, so all of you out there, put your dadgum carts back in the cart corral. I'm serious. In high school, I had my car hit with a rogue grocery cart because somebody didn't put it back. And those two dents in my Mercury Cougar, which was year 2000, by the way, never came out.
Boy, so, it probably hurt you at trade-in time,
didn't
it?
I'm telling you, it really lowered the resale value. So put your carts back in the cart corral. If I ever run for office and I win, I'm going to make it to where you get citations. Do us all a favor. Merry Christmas. Where's the Tylenol? So, all right, I'm done. Good one, Maddie.
I'm glad we're all on board.
I'm glad we're all on board with it.
I think you need a relaxing vacation.
I do. Yeah. Thank you. I'm glad you agree.
You're getting a little Clark Griswold there.
Let me get you over
Merry Christmas, Holy.
We need to get you to Gaston's, where right now 40% off on lodging rates during their winter rates at Gaston's. That's 40% off. You can pick the cabin. You can pick the lodge. If you got a group up to 20 you want to take for the holidays, whether it's a work getaway or whether you got a business trip planned or whether you and your wife want to get away for a romantic weekend on Valentine's Day. You can do all of that right now. 40% off through the winter months at Gaston's White River Resort. Also, we'll be telling you more about their New Year's Eve celebration. Call and make your reservations to join them on New Year's Eve at Gaston's White River Resort. 870-431-5202. And be sure and stay a few days and book a fishing guide to really enjoy what it's all about. That's the wonderful trout fishing on the White River. 40% off winter rates at Gaston's White River Resort. Gaston's. A first-class time,
every time. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
The give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline and welcome in Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Good morning, Tom. How you doing, man?
Well, I'm hanging in there after Sam Pittman night of sleep that just ended about 30 minutes ago. But I'm hanging in there, man.
Oh, that's good that you're hanging in there, and appreciate you joining us regardless, man. And that's really where we want to start when talking about is Sam Pittman. And there's a few things that's happened since the last time we talked with you. But first off, I just want to start with the hiring of Barry Odom. It was certainly one that got speculated a little bit last week, was made official yesterday in a press release put out by the University of Arkansas. What do you make of this hire, and what type of impact will Barry Odom have on this Arkansas defense in the next few seasons?
I think it's a fabulous hire, and nice interview by you two guys yesterday with Sam Pittman. I just think it was, if you look at the progression of what Sam Pittman has done, he got his defensive coordinator in very quickly to help, stabilize the defensive class, so to speak. And then it worked out because they've been buddies for such a long time. And when the Memphis job, which I thought he'd be a very strong candidate for, when the Memphis job didn't happen, it was a natural progression for him to come here. And he's got just a step on board to help kind of keep the current roster together, and the OC hire will likely come in the next few days. And he's got an O-line coach that's like his right-hand man. You can kind of see the most trusted guys coming in play first, and Barry Odom being one of those. And I just think at age 43, he's got a really good grip on today's offenses and defenses, and I think he's a fine man. And I'm really looking forward to sitting down and talking to Barry Odom.
Yeah, and I'll be interested to see how much of the Missouri defensive staff fills some of these openings on the assistant coaching roster for Arkansas. You know, how does that start taking shape over the next few days now that the dead period's here, Tom, and early signing period? I would imagine they want to at least signal by sending out some messages, you know, via social media and letting people know this is who will be the linebackers coach. This was who will be coaching the various positions on both sides of the ball. So, maybe some of these guys that might think you could swing have an idea who their coach would be.
Yeah, and there's a little bit of a push and pull with that kind of stuff. Like, how committed is he to his current school to being on board through the signing day? So it's an annual deal. And I got to tell you, I'm going to write about this for tomorrow. But Arkansas has been really dealt a bad set of cards here in that in two out of the 3 years that have the December period, they have been replacing their coach. And I heard Sam talking about it with you guys that it makes it tough to on a coaching staff to try to put together a big crop of signees in the December part. And Chad Morris had the same thing in his first year. It was the original year of this. And so Arkansas just happens to be in kind of a trough in the cyclical nature of football, and two out of the 3 years they're dealing with this, and it makes it tough because the coaching staff that completely have it together, they've been doing well, have been working on these guys for a year, and they just kind of keep rolling.
Tom, the next step, at least in Razorback fans' minds, at least the biggest and most significant step, is who the offensive coordinator is going to be. Now, we were discussing about some of the options, some of the names that have been thrown around, whether or not they need to be the actual quarterback coach, or do they need to? Can they be some other position coach? What do you make of the offensive coordinator position? Is there a name that comes to your mind or you think it would be great for Arkansas? What's the situation looking like there?
Yeah, I think it should be a guy who's worked with quarterbacks, because Sam's background, obviously, with the O-line, and you know, I just think they're going to upgrade there really nicely in terms of personnel, in terms of technique, and et cetera. But I put some guys out there that may be connected to the job. I mean, Kendall Briles put out there. He's got a background with quarterbacks. He was at Florida State last year. Major Applewhite, who there was talk that had Barry Lunny been able to secure the position, that he could have brought a Major Applewhite on board. So he's an analyst at Alabama right now, and a guy who's been successful coordinating offenses before. And there's some more. I just think Rich Rodriguez, the style he ran at Ole Miss last year and being a former head coach, you know, it's kind of the formula Luke used. He brought in Mike McIntyre and Rich Rodriguez as coordinators. Well, Sam Pittman's already got an ex-head coach, and I think it would make good sense to have another one at your offensive coordinator spot, too. So those three are some of the guys. And the guy at Kansas, he just got promoted, Brent Dierman, to offensive coordinator from being like a senior offensive analyst who had an unbelievable year at Bethel University in 18. He's still kind of young, but everybody's looking for the next Joe Brady when it comes to offensive coordinator, the next whiz guy who can just exploit matchups and inspire guys and put schemes on the board that make it tough on defense, the way Joe Brady did for LSU this year.
So we've been talking about Kendall Briles and Rhett Lashley and Chip Long. Do those guys check enough of those boxes? Have they been dynamic enough in their young careers to be the guy at Arkansas, or is Sam Pittman looking for something else at this point, in your opinion?
Well, that's a great question, Tommy. And, you know, Rhett Lashley, we've mentioned him sometimes. And he would bring you the added bonus of being an Arkansas-based guy who has trained in the Gus Malzahn tree, which is a rapidly spreading tree right now. And I don't know. I think he's done enough. I think, you know, SMU was a quality offensive squad this year, so he would make sense to me as well.
Tom, another question that we'll close out shop with is just dealing with the Razorback basketball team, as they have been listed in the NCAA tournament as far as for Joe Lunardi and his bracketology and all that. Just at this point in time, are you surprised how well they're playing right now? We knew that they were going to be a tough team, but are you surprised about how good they are right now?
Slightly surprised based on the inherent roster deficiencies they have in terms of sheer numbers and in terms of height, yes. These guys are fighting every game. I really should have won the West Kentucky game. We went over that before. And I think the advanced scouting and the preparation they do has been just such an eye-opener for these guys. And it helps them, you know, how to play switches, you know, how to play post moves. And it has been fabulous to see. And I think it could wind up being one of the greatest stories in college basketball this year, because if they go 500 in conference play now, I think they're in there. We wouldn't have thought that beforehand.
Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Appreciate it, Tom, man. We'll catch up with you on Thursday. All right, my man?
Sounds good.
Hey, appreciate it, man.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
We've had some good discussions, mainly dealing with the offensive coordinator position, which, you know, a lot of Razorback fans have been interested in. And I wanted to revisit... I'm trying to remember who texted in, and I apologize about it. We've had a lot of text messages this morning, but was asking about the format of maybe having Chip Long as your offensive coordinator / tight end coach, who was at Notre Dame, mixed in with a guy like a Garrick McGee, who was where? Missouri this past year, where Barry Odom was. So he's going to be looking for a job, and bring him in as your quarterback coach. And you know, that's really an interesting thing that's, it may be realistic. I don't know exactly who has been talking to who. I don't know what's been going on. I know that Kendall Briles has reported that they were at least interviewing him and talking with him. But when you really get down to it, wouldn't that make a lot of sense if that type of situation happened where Garrick McGee was a quarterback's coach and then your tight ends and offensive coordinator was Chip Long, and knowing the type of style that they do run, which seems to be more pro, but still can be helpful. And also, Garrick McGee coached Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that's what coaches always like to hold their hats on, and you probably got tired of hearing Chad Morris talk about how he coached Deshaun Watson. But still, it means something when you have the quarterback's coach and the offensive coordinator have a guy that's doing as well as Lamar Jackson, winning a Heisman Trophy and balling out in the NFL right now. And people kept seeing a player like a KJ Jefferson. Maybe there's some comparisons there as far as their athleticism and the type of quarterback that they are. So who knows? But the whole point is that if they were able to do and pull off some sort of setup like that when it comes to their offensive staff, that would be a rock star hire, I believe. But I think it's fascinating the connections that you can make with the Garrick McGee's, the Chip Longs, and the Barry Odoms.
Garrick McGee's been here before.
Yes.
Familiarity with the University of Arkansas in a previous era, previous regime. But the familiarity and being on the staff with Barry Odom is the linchpin here. Mm-hmm. It's the critical hinge on this deal.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And, you know, it would be great if that ended up happening. You know, we definitely have to make sure we get Tyler on the show to talk about it.
Sure. But whoever the OC is going to have, you know, that's why the staff hadn't been filled out. Coordinators will fill out a lot of the other positions.
Yeah.
So I look for several of the Missouri assistant coaches on the defensive side to perhaps being part of this equation defensively at Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Just makes sense.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. No, I mean, it would be no brainer. Type of thing. Just because of I want to have a defense on Arkansas that was similar to what they had at Missouri. Well, so bring in the coaches that go along with it.
Well, I mean, that's just, again, I go back to know, like, and trust. Who does Barry Odom know, like, and trust? He'll know who did a great job for him at Missouri,
yep.
A team that averaged less than 20 points a game that they gave up on defense. Statistically, very solid. He knows the coaches he needs to bring in to accomplish those things.
Yeah.
He knows the coaches that weren't pulling their weight at Missouri. He can leave them out of the equation. He knows who fits in recruiting. There are just certain things you got to balance to make it all fit.
Yeah. And I said this about the head coach, that I want the head coach to have the guys that he wants as the assistants. It's the same way with those coordinators. As an offensive coordinator, I want that offensive coordinator to bring in the positional coaches that they trust, they know, and they feel like it's going to help them do the best job possible. It just makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So if they were able to pull something like that off, I think it would be exciting for people. I know there's a lot of people that are against the Kendall Briles hire because of the history, because of the name that goes along with it and the whole Baylor situation there. I don't really know, but I think that probably Tommy, in the next 24, 36 hours, surely they'll have an offensive coordinator.
I think we're talking about it in the morning.
Okay. Which I hope you're right. I really do. I hope you're right. I hope they have him hired today. But we'll see what Sam Pittman wants to do and see how that goes on. By the way, also, we had a poll question really early this morning. We didn't revisit.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's really big, hard-hitting sports type of talk here. But we put out a poll question of what's your status on your Christmas shopping right now? 27% of you say you have gotten it done already. 39% you say you're getting close. 27% of you say you haven't even started.
27%.
Yeah. Mm. And 7% says you've already given up on it. 27% haven't even started.
Mm-hmm. I really think as late as Thanksgiving was this year, a lot of people haven't even realized that, hey, Christmas is sneaking up on us. You feel, you know, generally, you just kind of get into a groove or a rhythm. You know when Thanksgiving is, and it's usually a little bit about 5 or 6 days earlier. I think we're all about 5 days behind schedule right now.
Mm-hmm.
That and the 15th was Monday rather than last weekend. So I think that held a lot of people off from shopping last weekend because a lot of people get paid on or around the 15th and just had to wait another few days. I noticed stores were busier yesterday than they were over the weekend.
Mm-hmm. But you have yet to get all your shopping done, or have you?
The shopping I do is for you guys here.
So have you gotten it done?
I'm about 2/3 done.
Okay.
I've got about 4 or 5 things left to buy, and none of it's wrapped.
Who wraps it?
My wife.
So your wife wraps the gifts for your work.
I take care. I don't know how. You don't want me wrapping them.
Why don't you put them in gift bags?
Some of it will be.
That's what I do.
There's some things that they don't make gift bags big enough for.
Ooh.
I could put them in garbage bags, which... You know,
I wouldn't be opposed to
it. Put a nice bowl.
Listen, I'm not one of these people that feel like it has to be, you know, beautiful.
Oh, my wife.
It's more about what's inside the gift. That's
custom bows, all the whole schmear.
Now, do you wrap your gifts too, Maddie T, or do you just put them in gift bags?
No, I do wrap. I'm not the greatest wrapper, but it's not for
nice
for a lack of trying. But you know, somebody like. Women love that stuff. Like Betty, she's like, I don't care what it is. I just like unwrapping something.
Oh, that's true.
Okay, cool. But I'm not down with that. Like every year at Christmas time, when I go with my family, I have them in gift bags. And in fact, they all give me crap all the time because one Christmas I was really late to the Christmas party. And they were like, what were you doing? I said, I was wrapping my gifts. Well, my gifts were in gift bags.
But let me give you a hack here.
Sure, Tommy. What do you
save you some money?
Yeah.
The dollar, not the dollar.
That's right.
Not the Dollar General, the dollar store.
Like the legitimate everything a dollar store.
That's where you get the bag. That's a where great you get point. Because I was in Target yesterday, and you mentioned this to
you
me yesterday.
You can spend a fortune on gift bags.
Yeah. Tommy, I'm telling you, one gift bag's $3 Target.
That's why you go to the dollar store.
Everything's a dollar.
Well, I do. I like to keep the bags from previous years.
Oh, my mom does that.
And no shame in that. Listen, you can't keep the wrapping paper.
Yep.
I guess you could if you really tried.
Well, even the stickers and everything, my mom wants to keep. You know?
Well, see, and that's what's great is sometimes I'll even just scribble off the names that were on it before and then just rewrite the new names. Obviously, I put a lot of effort and thought into my Christmas presents.
You can spend a fortune on cards and gift bags this time of year.
Just by going over there?
If you go into
that. If you just go to Walmart or anywhere else, they just hey, I need a gift bag. You can spend $5 or $6 on a gift bag.
Oh, no, that's what's happening, you know. And then you got the paper that goes in.
The tissue. So you got paper. $10 into putting a gift in a bag.
So that's why I couldn't.
So
do
you
it
don't
yesterday.
Feel like a,
I walked on by. I couldn't get gift bags. Yeah, at Target.
We got cheaper to wrap it.
We got in the wrong business. That's the thing is we should have gotten into the gift bag business and all that. But yeah, because. That's why I have to keep some of the same bags, just because.
I just use newspaper, you know.
Yeah, newspaper.
They don't even make those anymore.
I one year when I was in college, I did toilet paper once. Not kidding. I was in college. What do you want me to do? They don't have newspapers on college campuses anymore.
I mean, that's also a gift though, too, because then you're also giving somebody toilet paper. Yeah. It's functional. They can use it later on.
And they understood. It's like, hey, it's John. You know, when he just gives toilet paper.
Toilet paper guy.
So yeah, but according to the poll question, though, most people have not. Or at least a good amount, 27% of you have not even started on your Christmas shopping. What are you waiting for?
Very few have finished your Christmas shopping.
Yeah.
Nick from Greenwood says he spent $55 just on the stamps to mail out
Christmas cards. Good That's grief. A roll.
My goodness.
Stamps have gotten expensive.
I can't remember the last time I have bought stamps.
I keep some in my wallet just because whenever I'm out somewhere and I need to send a postcard, it's places that sell postcards don't sell stamps. So it's like I stopped into CVS and when I was in New York, and it's like I just keep stamps in my wallet now for if I ever come across a postcard I need to mail when I'm out somewhere.
Do they expire?
Stamps? No, you get the forever. Forever stamps.
Okay.
Forever.
So wait, there's two different types of stamps? There's a forever stamp and a not forever stamp?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do I know if mine's are forever?
You buy the forever stamp.
But I don't remember what I bought. I just know I have them.
Okay. Just says it on there.
And I have American flags on it. That's all I know.
You're probably
That's
good.
The most important part.
Yeah. By the way, I had to teach a friend of mine how to properly format a letter. Like, what do you write on the envelope and where you write it?
What are they teaching y'all in school these days?
I knew how to do it, but it was just my friend. He didn't know how to do it, and I had to teach him how to write a check. Which... I mean, I get because no one writes checks much anymore.
They don't even teach cursive now. How do you learn to sign your name on a check if they don't teach cursive in school?
Well, by the way, Tom, I don't know if you heard, Ruskin and Zach were giving you a lot of crap about your checks.
What about them?
Well, just because Ruskin was saying when he was doing the show with you, you'd be over there balancing in your checkbook.
He does.
And then Ruskin was saying on the air, he's like, I don't know. You have to ask John if he still does that. And I said, like, yeah, Tommy sometimes is over there still balancing.
Tell him Tommy has a business to run here. Yeah. And he's trying to keep this place afloat.
Well, that's what I was saying. But it was just funny because he says that was the only person he ever knew to actually, you know, still write checks.
Yep.
But
still do.
Like in the intro says, your hand does not get cramped.
I don't get hand cramps when I'm writing checks.
When you're writing checks because you're just so used to it all. But no, that's the thing. The only time I ever write checks is for my rent. And I do that purposely. They would do auto draft, but I don't do it because I don't trust
them. I don't write them at all.
Never, ever, 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 ever do auto draft on anything.
No, because I got burned once where I got double charged at the place I used to live at way back when. Yeah,
and you go to your bank, you get no help.
Yeah, and it's just a hassle. So yeah, if I can avoid it,
ever let anyone auto draft from your checking account.
Yep, don't trust.
Don't do it.
Yeah. So there's the words of wisdom there for that. But yeah, and also folks, if you have kids that are old enough and they don't know how to write checks or don't know how to format an envelope, teach them.
What
do that for
teaching
Christmas.
In schools?
Everything's on iPads, Tommy.
God almighty.
Do your kids know how to write an envelope?
Well, they're 9 and 8.
Okay,
no.
That's true. well, make sure they learn it then when they become teenagers, if that's the case.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.